Psalms 23, give you just a moment to find your place. Psalms 23, verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the reading of the Word of God. I praise You for allowing us the grand and great privilege of having a copy of the Scriptures. Lord, it's from the Bible that we know what to believe. Without the Bible, we'd have no clue. We'd know nothing about sin. We'd know nothing about salvation. We'd know nothing about the Savior or nothing that has to do with You and our need of You. So thank You for the Word of God that You've used men to bleed and die, Lord, for its preservation, that we could have a copy of it in this day and hour in which we live. And Lord, I am completely confident that, Lord, laying on this pulpit today, Lord, is a copy of the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. It doesn't contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. And may we not try to correct it, but allow it to correct us. Have Your way and give us power to preach. Give us the utterance of the Spirit. And Lord, may it not be information, but also inspiration for us to live for You and to follow You in these days in which we live. Save sinners, stir the saints, and we'll give You the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Psalm 23, of course, there's a lot could be said about it. More could be said about it than we've really got time to deal with. But we thank the Lord for, many of you know this, chapter 22 and 23 and chapter 24. They all three go together. Amen. Chapter 22 shows the cross. Chapter 24 shows the coming kingdom. And then chapter 23 is in the meantime. In the meantime, between the cross and the kingdom, we have a shepherd. Thank God for that. You can make it because we've got a shepherd. Amen. Chapter 22 talks about Jesus and reveals Jesus being the good shepherd that gives His life for the sheep. Chapter 23 shows Jesus to be the great shepherd according to Hebrews 13 and 20. And then chapter 24 shows Jesus to be the chief shepherd that is coming again, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 4. But anyway, chapter 23, we noticed in verse number 1, two services, and I'll try not to get hung up on that, just mention it, go on. But we've noticed the fact that Jesus, our shepherd, meets the needs found in emptiness. Our emptiness is met in Him. And I know I've preached twice on it already, but if you can get it, if you can get it to know that Jesus is your satisfaction, amen, and that the world cannot satisfy, it will save you a lot of wasted days and a lot of wasted years. Save you a lot of scars if you just listen to that simple truth and follow after God. So we've noticed that Jesus meets the need of our emptiness. Number two, we find in verse number two that He begins to emphasize and to exhibit the fact that the shepherd not only meets the needs of our emptiness, but He also meets the needs of our essentials. We find in verse number 2, the Bible said, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He, verse 3, restoreth my soul. He leadeth me of the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So we have several essentials revealed in these verses as sheep needs, and the shepherd can meet those needs. And I'll give them to you, and then I'll go back and try to preach them. I find, first of all, that sheep need calming. Sheep need calming. Number 2, sheep need feeding. 3, sheep need leading. Number 4, sheep need watering. 5, sheep needs defending. And 6, sheep need unifying. And so we'll go back and deal with those. And one thing I noticed out of this passage that blessed me, and the Lord just shared this simple thought to me, and that is simply this: the sheep does not have to tell the shepherd what the needs are. Right. Amen. You do not find in this passage the sheep telling the shepherd, lead me. I need leading. I need feeding. I need calming, or the others. You don't find that. Why? Because the shepherd knows. If you don't get nothing tonight, let those words right there sink deep into your spirit. The shepherd knows. I remember hearing Brother Billy Cole. He's gone to glory now. He used to preach the gospel down in South Carolina. And he told me of a time when this man was going through a very difficult time in his life. He was driving a truck. Brother Brooks used to drive a truck. And this fellow was driving a truck, and sometimes he'd just stop at specific churches if he was traveling on the weekend. And he was traveling on the weekend, and he stopped at this church. And this elderly preacher was preaching, and this man was going through a hard time in his life, and he just wasn't getting any help, seemed like. And he sat and listened to that whole message, and still seemingly no help came. But as the service dismissed and the preacher were at the back door listening or to greeting people as they went out, this man that was driving the truck walked out the door, and that old man of God didn't know anything about him and said to him, he knows. That's all he said. He shook his hand, looked him in the eye, and said, he knows. God took those two words, put it in his heart, and gave him the help that he needed. Said he got in that truck, and every time he changed gears, it was almost like it was saying, he knows. Amen. Seemed like he said every time the tires rolled over, said they was a singing, he knows. Amen. I'll tell you, there's no more greater comfort than to know that he knows. Amen. He doesn't have amnesia. He's never going to have Alzheimer's, thank God. I'm glad he's on top of the game. He knows what is going on in your life. He knows what needs you have even before you ask him. Aren't you glad of that? Matthew chapter number 6. A chapter that the latter part of the chapter is dealing with worry. Now, I know nobody in here does that, so I won't spend much time there. But he's speaking about worrying. And here's what he said in verse 31. Therefore, take no thought. That is, don't be worried or anxious about these things. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And I'm glad tonight to report to you, or to remind you and refresh your knowledge on the fact that he knows where you are. He knows what you need. The shepherd is so in tune with the sheep that the shepherd knows both what they need externally and also what they need internally. Both of those are crucial and important to the shepherd. The shepherd knows that it's important for the sheep to have every need met externally and to have every need met internally. Boy, I like that myself. Amen. But every need, listen to this, every need that comes from the sheep comes from weakness. Everywhere there's a need, it's because there's weakness. And the Lord knows our life is full of weakness. Amen. We just need to make sure our life is not full of wickedness. Amen. Because it's a lot easier to deal with weakness than it is wickedness. Amen. But the shepherd knows every detail inwardly and outwardly about the sheep. Could I say first of all tonight that the shepherd, my friend, meets that essential, that necessary element of a calming. He knows that sheep, and I studied this out, that sheep are very afraid. That sheep are afraid of dogs and cougars and bears and wolves. I was reading in a book not long ago that stated that even something as small as a rabbit can send panic into an entire flock. What about that? Philip Keller in his book, A Shepherd's Look at Psalms 23, said that one shepherd had cited the fact that a little puppy caused 200 sheep to stampede. Sheep are fearful by nature. And boy, if we're not careful, we'll live by fear and we'll be controlled by fear. And you know what the Bible says? The fear of man bringeth a snare. In other words, if you're living by fear, you're in bondage. You're in a trap. Amen. And boy, this shaky economy that we have, how many people today are being controlled by fear? But sheep has to be calmed. But here's the thing that's very important, I think, to note, is that the calming of sheep does not come from the external circumstances or the conditions of the environment. The calming of the sheep comes from the presence of the shepherd. Or if we could just get a hold of that simple truth tonight, that our peace and calming comes from the presence of the shepherd. Amen. A lot of times fear is caused by a lack of confidence. The reason we're fearing is because we have lost some confidence in the shepherd. How can you fear what might happen if you are confident that he can handle it? If you're confident that he knows about it, if you're confident that he can deal with it, how can you have fear in light of that? So really, fear is the absence of faith. Fear is the absence of faith. Someone said it this way, I believe it was Miss Wells told me and my wife years ago, this truth, said that fear is basically faith in Satan. Fear is taking what the devil says and believe it instead of what God says. Faith takes God's word and believes it. Fear takes what the devil says and believes it. And sometimes the devil will speak to you through imagination. Amen. Getting you living under the umbrella of supposition. That is, you just start supposing they're thinking this. You're just supposing this might happen. Or supposing this other thing might happen. And before you know it, you're in a mess spiritually over something that has never happened and is likely to never happen. We worry about things that never come to pass. Amen. We've got a Bible full of promises that cannot fail. Why don't we focus our faith on what we know is certain? Amen. Instead of focusing our fear on what may never happen. Amen. Now I don't have to, let me ask. How many of you have been really gotten a bind and got tore up spiritually over something you just thought was going on? Everybody in here can raise your hand on that. I mean, yeah, there are times that things does go on, but I'm talking about letting imaginations get it, kick in and get in control of your life. And next thing you know, you're in fear. There's people that can't even hardly sleep at night. Not because of insomnia, but because of fear. Afraid and fearful of what's going to happen to this and what's going to happen to their children, what's going to happen to their marriage, and what's going to happen to this and that and the other. I mean, just fear. Fear, wondering what's going to happen with the jobs and what's going to happen with the economy and what's going to happen with what's going to happen materially, and are we going to lose this and we're going to lose that, and what's going to happen nationally and what's going to happen internationally and what's going to happen globally and what's going to happen here and there. And amen. But you know what I found out? My fear has never influenced the first politician. They've not regulated any votes in Washington based on the fact that there would be a young man, a pastor in Rogersville Baptist Temple in a little town in Rogersville, Tennessee, that's worrying about this. Amen. I know this, you don't maybe not like this, but it is the truth. Most of that bunch up there could care less about you. They want your votes to put them in office so they can get their money. But other than that, they live for themselves and they cater to what they want. Amen. And most of them lied their way through their candidacy. Amen. But my confidence is not in the Republicans or the Democrats or the Independents. My confidence is not in the White House. My confidence, my friend, is in God. Amen. He cannot lie. He cannot back up. Listen, amen. Thank God I can have faith in Him and enjoy His calmness. I can enjoy His calmness. You ought to read the book of Proverbs. It's full of great, great principles about fear. The fear that we're supposed to have is called the fear of God. Amen. The fear of God, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There's a lot we could say about fear, but it is essential for sheep if they're going to produce and if they're going to be what they need to be. They have to dwell in the element of calmness. Amen. God help us all. How many of us has done this? And I'm not talking about washing hands either. Amen. Lay awake at night, feel like you got a knot that big in your stomach. Come on now. Can't sleep because you've got a recording in your mind that's just boom, over and over and over and over, and you're replaying this action, you're replaying this circumstance, or you're listening to your imagination or whatever, and next thing you know, you're just being consumed with fear. God says that we're like sheep. We're just like sheep. We need calming. Thank God for the verses in the Bible that talks about the peace of God. The peace of God. Wolves can be all around on the hillside, but it won't disturb the sheep as long as they're close to the shepherd. Amen. Well, there's a lot of things we can say about that, but let's move on. Number two, the sheep not only have the essential of needing to be calmed or have a calming. Well, I'm glad for the peace I feel in my heart. I'm glad for the peace I enjoy in my soul. Oh, I'm telling you, I do. I mean, I can look around and you can as well, and you could find things if you look that would be perplexing and disturbing and discouraging, and you know. But thank God for that peace, the Bible says, which passeth all understanding. Think about that. Amen. Philippians 4 talks about the peace of God shall keep, that is, shall guard your heart and mind. Oh, what about that? The world looks at us and they wonder why we're not pulling our hair out. And they're wondering why we're not like they are. But we're sheep. We've got a relationship to the shepherd. And we know tonight the shepherd stands between us and the fears. But we need calming. And then number two, we need feeding. Sheep, I want to make a statement here. I hope you listen. Sheep can't eat just anything. Woo! Sheep's got to eat a sheep diet. Sheep can't eat just anything. Amen? Now, goats can. I never had a goat. Brother McCarricker never had goats or still got goats. But my daddy told me about an old goat he used to have. They had it as a pet. It was an old billy goat. And he said the thing would eat anything. He said he'd eat 10 cans. And eat anything. See, it don't take much. Amen. I mean, the world can just put anything on the ground and a goat will eat it. The world can just throw any of its music down, the goat will eat it. The world can just throw any of its entertainment down, the goat will eat it. But a sheep will look at it and say, mm-mm. Amen. I'm telling you, your diet. Amen. Your diet. How in the world did that get wrapped around my head? Amen. I felt something up there about to choke me. Amen. But how your diet reveals whether you're a sheep or not. And we've talked about that a little bit this morning, but a shepherd knows that a sheep needs feeding, and not just feeding, but needs particular and specific feedings and nutrition. And the Bible said, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Wasn't that good? I'm glad my shepherd can feed us. Well, I like that, don't you? So there is the essential of calming, there's the essential of feeding, and then number three, there's the essential of leading. We've got to be led. It is a known fact that sheep have no sense of direction. If a sheep were to wander away, they can't get back. They have no sense of direction. Boy, if that's not like us, if that's not like a child of God, amen. We don't have no sense of direction. And how many besides me have made wrong moves in your life? Amen. I'm telling you, it's easy to do. So easy to do that it's scary. Amen. But the shepherd knows that. The shepherd knows that we need leading. Of course, if you are not interested in His Lordship, in verse 1, the Lord is our shepherd. If you're not interested in His Lordship, then you're probably not interested in His leadership. I doubt too many people would want to be led unless He's their Lord. And a lot of people are afraid of Lordship. They're afraid of submitting to His leadership and to His Lordship. And for Him to lead you requires Him for you to submit. It doesn't say that He driveth them, but it says He leadeth them, requiring your submission. Requiring your submission. So, amen, I'm glad that we can trust His leadership. A while ago, I asked the question about the good, better, and best. Where do you think Jesus would love to lead you? Into the best. I don't think He'd want to lead you just into the mediocre. I think He'd want to lead you into the marvelous. Amen. But how many is willing to trust His hand? How many is willing to trust His feet and His leadership and His example and His guidance? No, I was pretty much in the driver's seat of my life for 20 years. And oh, how many times did I wreck? And how many times did I go in the ditch? And how many times did I get on a dead-end street? And how many times, my friend, did I get lost and didn't know where to go and wound up? My life was in a mess. You know why? It's because I was driving. I was making turns based on what I wanted to do. And of course, that was being controlled by the flesh. What the flesh wants to do. Amen? The flesh does not care about you. You've heard me preach that. You've heard me make that statement. The flesh, your flesh, yes, your flesh does not care about you. The flesh is so much an enemy to you, your flesh, not other people, yours. Your flesh is such an enemy to you that it will kill you to seek gratification. And that's true with alcoholics, that's true with drug addicts. My friend, they some of them will tell you they know that this drug addiction is killing them. Brother Rob, they'll testify, they'll tell you, I know I've lost my home over this. I know that my marriage fell apart over this. I know that I've lost my children over this. I know that I've lost my purity over this. I know that I'm on the bottom because of this, and they keep doing it. Amen? The flesh doesn't love you. Your flesh is your worst enemy. And I'll tell you what, you need to treat it as such. Young people, you need to treat those fleshly desires as that which comes from the enemy itself, because your flesh is a cohort with the devil. Your flesh is a comrade with the devil himself. The devil carries out his will and impulses through fleshly desires, and you can find that in Ephesians chapter 2. That when we were times past, we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And it goes on to talk about the flesh and its desires. Well, we need leading, don't we? Are you willing to let Jesus lead you? You young people willing to pray, God, not my will, but thy will be done? Are you willing to pray, God, you know the best. You know where the green pastures are. Are you willing to trust his hand? Oh, yes. If you're not careful, we'll be living by feelings more so than by faith. And you'll think, well, it looks good over here. Well, you better watch it, friend. You better watch making decisions on how things look. Ask Lot if that's a good principle to go by. Lot in the Bible was given the choice to make a decision of where he was going to lead his family. And guess what? He looked upon the well-watered plains of Sodom and made his choice because he thought that would be a good place to raise cattle. And my friend, he didn't consider that it wasn't a good place to raise children. He thought more about his business than he did his boys. And he had some boys. He had girls too, but he had his boys. Had some boys. Amen. I want to ask you, friend, do you need leading? Are you willing to let Jesus lead you? And I can preach this right here till I fall over. And there'll be people, young and old alike, that will not let Jesus lead them. Amen. You need to learn the leadership of the Lord early in your Christian life. Learn it early. Bible says Romans 8 and 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I tell you how important leadership is. Leadership is a true identification of salvation. Rebels are not saved. God cast the first rebel out of heaven, and he's not about to let another one in. Amen. Rebellion, friend, is from the devil himself.
That's right.
Rebellion against authority, rebellion against leadership. God leads, my friend, through many ways. He leads through his scriptures. You don't have to pray about something that the Bible speaks clearly against. I remember one time that I was speaking to a lady in Bible college. She was praying about a young man that wasn't even Christian or nothing, wasn't professing nothing, and I said, look, I said, you don't even have to pray about that. You know that's not the will of God. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You know that'll never work. Light and darkness will never get along. A believer and an unbeliever can't never get along. You know what she's saying? She said, but I've got peace. I said that you might have peace, but that peace didn't come from God. If you got peace about stuff that violates the Scripture, you know the Holy Ghost didn't give you that peace. And sometimes, let me give you something that I've learned. Sometimes if you want something bad enough, you can create some peace. If you want something bad enough, you can create some leadership. And the truth? Lord help, I wish somebody had preached that to me when I was young. We need leading. God has a perfect will for your life. He don't save you and then throw you out in the pasture to roam wherever you will. He saves you because, and then at that point you become His. And He wants to lead you where He can use you. He wants to lead you where you can feed and enjoy. You say, preacher, and I know nobody probably would say it in a testimony tonight, but I wonder how many thinks this. Preacher, I would let him lead, but I don't know what he'd choose for me. Could I ask you something tonight? Now, I didn't mean to slow down right here, but what are you afraid of? Amen? Amen. How many young people is not willing to let Jesus be in charge of their courtship and their marriage, future marriage and their mate and all that? They're not willing to let Him lead because they're afraid of what He might choose. Come on now. I tell you a good reason. I'm not going to turn this message into a dating counseling deal, but I'll tell you why you ought to trust His leadership on that. You can't see past the end of your nose. You can't see that person even tomorrow. And you probably know very little about that person in yesterday and the days past. So I'll tell you why you're to trust God. God sees the big picture. God sees the whole picture. He knows what that person really is, whether that person is putting on a show or not.
Right.
That's right. That church where I was at this past week, Brother White, he has a couple of children still at home, a boy and a girl. The girl's 17. And you know what the wife told me the other day? We're sitting there eating supper, and the wife told me, said, you know what? I believe there's some boys that are out for nothing but to come in our church and try to ruin some good girls. Boys will all of a sudden get religious. If they spot a good-looking girl, a beautiful girl in the house of God, they'll get religious, start carrying a King James Bible. Amen. Might even get their hair cut. But all of a sudden, my friend, when you say I do's and the knot is tied, they turn into complete heathen.
Yeah.
Amen. You ought not to ever even give them your phone number till they prove themselves. Don't even call me until you've established a testimony to the pastor and to daddy and to mama and to my aunts and uncles and to my cousins and to everybody else you could think of. You've established a testimony that you are indeed real, that you're not putting on a show, that you really do love God. I want to see you go through a valley or two. I want to see you fight a giant or two. I want to see you go through some problems a time or two and see if you cave in. Amen. And don't give them a deadline. Don't give them a deadline and say, I'm going to watch you 6 months. Just say, I'm going to watch you. Amen. Well, I can't hardly preach here without preaching to young people. Some, amen. It's my heart to do that. I like it. I enjoy it because I'm going to tell you, if anybody needs preaching, it's this generation. If anybody needs preaching, it's this generation. Amen. They're making a lot of foolish mistakes. They're making a lot of foolish choices. They're not letting God choose and give leadership with their companion. They're not, with their courtship or with their career options. A lot of young people don't ever even give much thought about, what am I going to do? What does the Lord want me to do? Amen. God knows best.
Amen.
God's will is best.
That's right.
Let Him pick and let Him choose and let Him lead. And then you tell me if those pastures is not the green pastures.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Well, we need His leading, don't we? I can't emphasize that enough, how badly we need His leading. And then we need His water. We need watering. Did you know, I found out that sheep, their physical composition, that they are 70% water. They are 70% water. In other words, come on now, are y'all listening? They can't stand it being dry long. Guilty! Guilty! I can't handle it dry. I gotta have water. And water in the Bible is a type of the Spirit of God and the Scriptures. I've gotta have the moisture of heaven. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Oh yes. Even the children of Israel being led out of Egypt's bondage, led into a wilderness. And guess what? They found out that they needed water.
Right.
They found out they couldn't make it without water. And God, provided the water. But you know one way that they survived, not just the water that came out of the rock, but thank God they lived off of dew.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
Praise God, that manna wasn't a dried up cookie. No, that manna, brother, had the dew of heaven on it. Praise God. Sheep, a lot of times, gets their moisture in the morning as they eat the grass that is, my friend, soaked with the dew that comes from above. I want to tell you, we are living in a wilderness. It is dry. It is a barren land for sure. But we are not drinking from without. We're drinking from within. And my shepherd, hallelujah, he is able to water us, amen, to keep us from dehydration. Thank God, Jesus is against dehydration. Amen. He don't like it dry. Wonder how he feels when he sees you drying up. One of the things he wants to do when he sees that is to lead you beside the still waters. Because Jesus, our shepherd, knows how important and how essential, Brother Rob, watering us and giving us water. I can't handle it if we don't have no water. If you go home tonight and you don't have any water, how long would it take you to be responding to that? I can't remember what the human composition is. Is it 80% water? Nurses, come on, who are you in here? Am I right on that? Is our human composition about 80% moisture? 70 to 80. Brother Ian back there, give me the thumbs up. You learned that in nursing school, didn't you, Ian? Amen. Amen, that's what I thought. So in other words, if your composition, your human makeup is that much water, that much moisture, it don't take long, buddy. It don't take much heat. It don't take much heat. It don't take much dry time. It don't take much of going between pools. Amen. To get dehydrated. That's why we can't afford to let one service get by us. That God don't rain down and pour water from the Word of God and the Spirit of God into our life and let us drink. But of course you're not going to drink if you are not thirsty. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. I'll tell you, but Jesus knows that if you're thirsty, you'll drink. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, glory to God for that. Jesus knows we need watering. And then I'll just mention this one and go on because I'm going to deal with it more in depth on another point. But Jesus knows that we need defending internally from the parasites and also externally. And I'll just leave it at that because I'm going to come deal with that at another point later on. But I'm glad Jesus knows that we need defending. Then the last point I'd like to point out on this essentials, and there's more. But the sheep needs unifying. One of the things that really, really sheep can't handle, boy, we're so much like sheep, is that sheep cannot handle friction. Oh, sheep cannot handle it when there's competition in the fold. Sheep can't last, can't make it good when there's tension and jealousy and strife in the fold or in the flock. Are we not like sheep? I want to tell you, there's nothing sweet as unity. Even the Word of God said, Psalms, what is it, 133 and verse 1, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Boy, it's precious, isn't it? It's sweet. And sinners, when they come into our services, they may be lost, they may not have a clue about a lot of things, but I guarantee you, they can pick up on friction, they can pick up on dissension, they can pick up, my friend, when there's rivalry among the people of God. They can pick up on it. Amen, are you listening? Sheep a lot of times will butt each other over the one subject, who's going to be boss? Who is going to be the biggest? Are you listening? Oh, God, help us to know that rivalry is not spiritual. Competition is not spiritual. I started to say this earlier, and Lord brought it back to my mind. And I know y'all have noticed this, but I want y'all to know that I've noticed it. And I want to give a commendation where it's due. I've noticed where people in the church sings sometimes other people's songs. Now I've seen a time when that would blow a church up. That is my song. Well, duh, we didn't know that you mastered that. If I'm not mistaken, Miss Debbie, you sang the song that Miss Lisa sang tonight. Am I right? And you played for her. Ain't that wonderful?
Amen.
We've seen young people sing choir songs. I didn't see Brother Craig get to put your lip and say, they didn't even ask. Who do they think they are? I just wanted y'all to know that I've noticed that. Now, I don't think it's wise to just purposefully get somebody else's song just so you think you can do it better. But I think and Brother Brian, we feel like around here nothing better, he's all that really matters. And all of a sudden that goes into being a choir song. I didn't see Brother Brian get to poochie lip. See, it don't matter. Praise God. It don't matter. It's all about Him. It's His songs. It's not your songs. What is a person going to do if God, now listen, I'm talking about real leadership. If God impresses a person to sing a song, and you've sung it before, or another one has sung it before, what are they supposed to do? Tell God. Now God, you're going to have to lead somebody else. That's their song. But I'm just wanting to commend you for not getting bent out of shape when somebody else sings your song. I mean, you ought to have make sure you got leadership to do it. Amen. All right. Well, we need unity and unifying. And guess who puts that in the flock? The shepherd. The shepherd knows that that is an essential. Sheep's not going to do well if they got goat habits. Button everything. Button this and button that. Amen. Sheep are a flock. They get along. If I pick up on something, I usually deal with it. Amen? If it's among our young people and I pick up on a little friction, I pick up on a little, and I did the other day. I'm not going to go back and give details, but I heard a little this and a little that. I didn't wait till the next day. I dealt with it immediately. I said, whoop, 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 let's go. Let's talk. Amen? Amen? If I hear of it, I know that it won't get any better if you leave it alone. You just have to deal with it. Why? Because friction, sheep don't do good when there's friction. And we've got a little bit of it in our youth right now. Just thought I'd throw that out there a little bit. Amen? And I'm just kind of sitting back watching to see if it gets took care of. And if it don't get care of, The shepherd and the under shepherd, which is me, will be involved with it. And it'd be a lot easier if you deal with it yourself. Save me the trouble. I got enough ulcers as it is. Amen. I don't want to have to fool with that. I hate confrontation. I hate that. But I also hate going to a dead church. Amen. I told some last night. I said, I'll watch it. I said, but when I see it start affecting our church, I said, I'll dive in from the high dive. Amen. Amen. When I see it start affecting our church, I'm going to get in it. Amen. Because I know how important it is. You never know when we're going to have an atheist walk through the door or when we're going to have a drunk to walk through the door, my friend, or a dope head walk through the door, or somebody contemplating suicide as we saw. Listen, I don't know how many of you was here that night. It was on a Wednesday night, Brother Craig. You remember that? We was just having a Wednesday night service and I was preaching. I don't remember what I was preaching, but God got me 40 miles off of my subject and got me dealing with suicide. Remember that? I even said, I don't know why I'm dealing with this. And I was preaching on suicide up one side and down the other. And it wasn't even remotely close to my subject. And there was a man, young man, that slipped in on the back row. Down the aisle he came. I believe he dealt right there, if I ain't mistaken. And he told me, he said, preacher, I was riding by the church, going to kill myself. I was en route. He told that now. He said, I was en route to kill myself. And said, when I drove by the church, something, of course we know it was a someone, said something told me, go in there, you'll find the answer. What about that? Hey man, we don't need friction and we don't need division and we don't need that, friend, because you never know who's sitting on our pews, my friend, where they are spiritually and how desperate they are spiritually. I can't help them. You can't help them, but the Spirit of God can help them. Amen. And we don't need rivalry. Hey man, we don't need that competition and jealousy and tension. Amen. I think that's good preaching myself. We need unifying. Ain't nobody around here going to be the boss. Amen. Now we don't have no bosses around here. Jesus is the shepherd. He's the boss. But I have told a few down through the years, I said, if we're going to have a boss, you're looking at him. I said, I'm not the boss, but if we're going to have one, I'm going to be it. I promise you that. Amen. I didn't move my family all the way from South Carolina up here, and that's not that long of a trip, but when you had my very limited means, I promise you that was a task. But God worked that move, Brother Brooks remembers maybe some of it, but God made that move. It was a miraculous move. I didn't have enough money to pay attention with, and that isn't no lie. Driving vehicles that was falling apart, wired together, starters wired together with a coat hanger. Are you listening? See through the floorboard, plumb into the road. Hey, man, mowed my yard with pieces of lawnmowers. You didn't know if it would mow a yard or blow up. God's been good to me. Hallelujah. Amen. We came up here. The door opened for us to come up here. We still owed for our house down there. We didn't have no money. Come up here looking around, and I didn't feel no peace on renting, trying to find what the Lord's will is. And I told the church when I came, Brother Brooks remembers, I know he remembers, and I told the church when they was wanting to talk finances, I said, I don't want to know nothing. I don't want to know what you can do. I don't want to know what you got. I said, I want to know, does God want me in Rogersville? If I get a green light to go, God will take care of me. And God used Brother Carroll's daddy. They were building a house over where I've been living since. I moved up here and they was building a house. I didn't have a dime to put down. I didn't have a dime to pay a payment with. And Brother Carroll's daddy let me move in. Of course, him and Roger Stewart working together, move into that house with absolutely no money down. And no money expected. Until I sell my house in South Carolina. But that was God. Amen. I'm telling you that was God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you it helps to know when God puts you in a place. Amen. Well, we need unifying, don't we? I'm not perfect. And I'm not pastoring perfect people. But I declare if we'll love one another, and hate rivalry, and hate competition, and hate, amen, jealousy. I'm not preaching down there right now, but I'm going to tell you, this past week I was in a church that's absolutely being eat alive with jealousy. Are you listening? Jealousy. I'm not talking about just mild stuff. I'm talking about can't sleep at night jealousy. I'm talking about so jealous over the blessings of God on other people. That pastor down there lived in a camper with his family. I'm talking about lived in a camper with his family for about, I think it was about 3 years. Wasn't no jealousy then. But the preacher got to praying for a house. No money to buy nothing with. Just so happened he had a rich uncle. Praise God. And that uncle went and put a bid in on a house that was in foreclosure. And he got the high bid and got the house and turned around and told that preacher, move in it. Y'all can have it for what I got for it. And bought a 200 and something thousand dollar house for 80 something thousand dollars. Are you listening? And soon as they had to move out of that little camper into a house, jealousy stirred up in some of the people. I'm talking about jealousy. Listen, worse than anything I'd ever seen. That pastor's wife talked to me, and her husband was present, talked to me weeping, tears running down her face. Said, preacher, they was happier when we didn't have nothing. It ain't right. It ain't right, brother. And it put that pastor's wife under bondage, Brother Brooks, to the point that she would not even stand and testify and give God praise for the blessings of God on her because she knew that Sister Wigglejaws back there would get all bent out of shape. Come on, I told her, well, I can't tell you all I told her. I didn't take it easy on her. I said, I hope you don't think I'm too rough on you, but I'm going to tell you just like it is. And she was a-bawling like a baby. The next morning, I said, sis, I hope I wasn't too rough on you. And she said, no, preacher, but that's what I needed to hear. And on Friday night, this past Friday night, she stood, tears running down her face, and said, I want to thank God. God's blessed me. I've been praying for a house for years to live in before they took this church. They was on the road in evangelism. So they're just going from here to yonder. Nothing, nowhere to go home to. No house to live in. She said, I've been praying for a house that I could have preachers to come and families to come and have fellowship and oh, mercy. And I happened to be the first preacher to stay with that family. And she stood and I said, don't worry about what that woman says or thinks. You give God praise. God's been good to you. God's blessed you. Don't you get in bondage to other people. I'm talking about friction. And I didn't know that until the end of the week, but I had dealt with it several nights through the week. And didn't even know it. Boy, God's able to do that.
Amen.
God's able to do that. And guess what? That woman hit the altar. That woman came and got that preacher's wife and got in the altar. And said, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. I know it ain't right. I shouldn't get upset when you're blessed. I shouldn't get upset when you're blessed. I tell you, it's sorry for somebody to look at another person that's getting blessed and be critical of them and judgmental, my friend, and covetous and jealous. Somebody looks better than you, don't get jealous.
Amen.
Somebody's in a little better situation than you, don't get jealous. Thank God that God's blessing another person. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God really takes into consideration your attitude a lot about what He does. Well, anyway, we need unifying. And the shepherd knows that. And when a sheep tries to be a shepherd, and when a sheep tries to move into leadership and move into the boss position, then it causes rivalry, it causes friction, and it causes problems. How many shepherds does a sheepfold have? When that sheepfold all surrenders, surrounds their whole life around that one shepherd, it produces unity. Amen. It produces unity when we, and I'm talking about Jesus being our shepherd. If all of RBT, my friend, would wrap your life around Jesus, we'd have such unity. We'd have such harmony here. Amen. We'd have such fellowship here, and we've got a good bit of it now anyway. And I want to tell you, we could have a greater, greater fellowship and a greater intimacy. And I'm not talking about sinful. I'm talking about spiritual. I've heard people right here in our church testify, and you have too, that they're closer to their church family than they are many of their earthly family. Are you listening? Praise God, when we come to the house of God, it ought to be a taste of heaven. When we come to the house of God, it ought to be a little heaven on earth. When we close those doors and we come into this environment, we come into this atmosphere, it shouldn't be worldly. It should not be carnal. It should not be fleshly. It should be heavenly. It should be spiritual. And we ought to get a little taste of heaven on earth. This ought to be a little colony of, my friend, of heaven on earth right here. Amen. And there'll be no friction there. There should be no friction here. But we need unity. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I mean to spend the whole message on that, but Lord knows. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Thank you for your attention. Heavenly Father, as we have this invitational moment together, Lord, I don't know every detail, but Lord, I pray that you'll convict and deal with every speck of friction, competition, jealousy, rivalry. Lord, I pray you'd deal with every element, every speck, Lord, in the church where there's resentment, where there's a grudge, where there's unforgiveness, where there is ill will, where there is name calling, where there is evil speaking, God, I pray You'll show whoever they are that they are not right with God. Lord, I pray that You will prick their heart and show them that that's not pleasing to Jesus. Lord, sometimes those that profess and try to be spiritual, many times they enter into a zone that really turns people off. When that judgmental and critical and name-calling attitude comes in, jealousy arises and it's not the will of God. Lord, if all of the sheep will focus all of our attention and affection on the shepherd and let the shepherd lead us, and Lord, let the shepherd be our one and all. Let the shepherd be our everything. Lord, it would surely help us. Lord, it would surely help us. Lord, I remember reading in John's gospel when John was following You and Peter got to running his mouth about John. And Jesus, you said to Peter, what is it to you? What John does is none of your business. You follow Me. You follow Me. Lord, I pray that that message will sink deep into our soul tonight. It's not what other people are doing or not doing. That's between them and Jesus. Lord, we are to follow You. And if we'll follow You, we can pray for others. If we'll follow You, we can be an example for others. Have Your way. Take the message. Use it for Your glory. Speak to all of us, Lord. All of us, and me included, Lord. I want to practice what I preach. Lord, I'm glad tonight that our shepherd, the Lord Jesus, meets our essentials. And as Miss Shannon testified, even our extras, He goes beyond what He knows we need. Many times He gives us more than what we need and just gives us sometimes what we even want. Lord, I thank You that we can trust You.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.